You ever notice sometimes when God calls us to witness, strange things happen? Have you ever noticed that? I don't mean strange things on the outside. I'm talking about strange things on the inside. You know, you're sitting in a doctor's office. You're in a waiting room. There's only you and one other very nice person in there with you. You're thumbing through the magazine. A conversation starts pretty casually. You start talking about how wonderful this summer has been. Hasn't this been a terrific summer? I mean, praise the Lord. Can you imagine in late August we are able to have the windows open because it's only going to be 73 degrees at noon. So you start this conversation. It's a good conversation. And all of a sudden in your spirit, you feel a slight nudging. You felt this nudging before. You're a Christian. You know that it's the Holy Spirit kind of nudging you, and you've heard the pastor say this week you should be sharing your faith more, and all of a sudden you get that urge, and the doctor, there's not another soul in there, and yet your hands start to sweat, do they not? Not only do your hands get moist, but your heart is going, and it starts pounding really hard. And you're taking a deep breath, you're going, am I going to share the faith? Am I going to speak out for Jesus? What if this guy sitting next to me, this strange-looking chap here, what if he is going to come out of his commando uniform and get me when I start to mention the name of Jesus? Maybe he'll have a freak out right here and slap me or something. I mean, we don't know who he is really, and we get all clammy, don't we? We get all worked up. Has that ever happened to you, or is this just a thing that happens with me? Right? You reach into your billfold somewhere and you go, maybe I'll just give him an invite card. Which invite card do I give him? There's so many. Right? Can't believe we have four out there because we have so much going on. And which card do we give? Maybe I'll just have him pick one. Just anyone. So we don't know quite what we're going to do. We just have this anxiety going on. We have this stuff working on in our hearts. Do we witness? Do we just invite? What do we say? You know, Pastor said I could just talk about my testimony. All of a sudden, I can't think of a single thing in my testimony. We just have those anxious moments. And I don't know about you, but I want to give you some encouragement today. It happens to me. And I earn a paycheck doing this stuff. I mean, I'm supposed to be able to just do it. And yet, sometimes my heart flutters when God, the Holy Spirit. And you know, I have to confess to you, sometimes I was in Best Buy about 2 years ago. And we had this conversation going, you know, one of the Best Buy clerks, I could find one, first of all. That was a miracle. And when I found a Best Buy clerk, he was so helpful. And God just seemed to say, I want you to tell him about Jesus. And I didn't. And I left there and I was so grieved in my spirit. So you know what it's like on the other side of that, not being obedient. Because I'm sure that's happened to you. You know, somebody walks up and the time is just gone. And, you know, you got to, when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you got to go kind of quickly. You don't know what's going to happen. And so sometimes we're on the other side of that and the grief fills our heart. And I think you can relate to me. If you're not a Christian today and you're just kind of here checking things out, we're so glad you're here, but you're off the hook today. This is all about Christians. I'm going to really let them hear the word today. And so you can listen in and kind of get a glimpse of what we go through talking to you about Jesus. You'll kind of get that information today. So as we're doing this, I want us to be conscious of something that oftentimes, as believers, we kind of get lifted out of the church. When we first get saved, when we first come to the Lord, when we first get into church and we're excited, God is changing our life, and every day we can see things happening, we share our faith because of our excitement. So, you know, we're anxious to call our mom or dad or our brother or our best friend and share with them what's happened. And sometimes we get a negative reaction. Oh, that's good for you. You know, I'm sure that you'll grow out of that. And you know, sometimes we get negative reactions and we're going, no, this is different. But as time passes, what happens in our life? We get lifted out of the church. There was a great picture when we took Evangelism Explosion in Fort Lauderdale with Dr. Kennedy. There was a picture of like a reverse. We got skydivers here, right? And they're coming closer, but there was like a reverse picture of them getting farther away. And that's what happens. We lose our connections in the world. We lose our friends of the world. I know my two best friends that I grew up with, I met one in the fifth grade and one, I think, in the sixth or seventh grade, new to our school. And they kind of, the first one accepted me, and the second one, I kind of embraced him. And we just became great friends. And when I became a Christian, our relationships changed. We no longer did the things that we did before I was saved. And everything just started changing, and we got more distant and more distant. Not because I necessarily wanted to, but our interests were so much different. One friend got into New Age and all of that. I'm not going to hang around all of that. And it was just a different relationship. So we get plugged more and more and more into the church, don't we? And we get less and less and less into the world. How are these two subjects connected? Well, number one, I think today, as we read the scriptures, we're going to see that we have to make a special effort to be connected into the world. We have to make a special effort as believers, because of the amazing message that has been given to us. We have to make a concerted effort to be plugged in, to have relationships with people around us that don't know Jesus, because we're naturally inclined to become more immersed into the church and less connected into the world. Pretty soon you can be busy on Monday night, on praise team practice, worship practice. You could be a Tuesday or Thursday night in a small group. You could be Wednesday night Bible study. You could just need a night off on Thursday or Friday night, and then Saturday night you could have something going on at church and Sunday. And you can be completely engrossed in church and be around saved people and have no relationships outside of that. That's a natural progression that happens in many Christians' lives. So God wants us to make specific connections, on purpose connections to people that are lost. He wants us to have those relationships. That's why you'll notice, if you look at the calendar, you'll notice that we don't pack the calendar full of stuff. Hope everybody open to the very center. Once in a while, we'll have something on Friday night. This is very unusual that in 4 weeks we would have two things on the calendar on Friday night. But typically we have lots of white space on the calendar, because on purpose, I don't want to schedule a whole bunch of stuff so that you don't have time to join a club in a secular area, so that you can get connected with unsaved people, that you can bring influence to the outside world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. Make sense? So there's always lots of white space on our calendar, and that's on purpose. That's on purpose to give you lots of time at home for your families, but also that your family can be a part of something outside of the church. Some church calendars are so full, you literally could be there 40 hours a week, 50 hours. You could be your full-time job, put you on the payroll at church, right? But that doesn't help us stay connected and have influence with outsiders, does it? So that's an important thing, and that's part of the lesson today. The other part is, what do we do with that anxiety when we are connected with outsiders? What do we do with that anxiety, with that nervousness, with that fear, if you will, in witnessing to people? We've all felt it. We've all had to deal with it. What do we do when that comes? Well, Jesus gives us instructions in Matthew chapter 10. He gives us some instructions. The most common issue is fear. In the beginning of Matthew chapter 10, you'll see that this is specifically written when Jesus sent out the 12. So some people would say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with me? He's specifically talking to the 12. He specifically, if you look at verse 1, he called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And some people say that's proof that we don't even have that anointing today because God gave it to the 12. Well, we could talk a lot about that. That's not where we're going today. We could, in the next verse 5 says, these 12 Jesus sent out with him the following instructions. So they're specific to the instructions. Some people would say, that's proof that God isn't writing this to everybody. And there's maybe some argument to that. But notice a very definitive change in the language that Jesus is using when you get down to verse 21. Go down to verse 21 with me. He says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the what? End will be saved. Jesus has just switched here from talking just to his disciples to a prophetic message to us. I believe, and I don't want to be negative today, this isn't the message. I will give a plug to the sermon series coming up on the end times. We're going to have three messages on the end times. I encourage you to take those invite cards, and if people have questions about that. I believe we are that generation. I believe this is the generation that is ushering in the end of times. I firmly believe that. I think I can point out a lot of scripture that shows us that we are living in those moments. And here Jesus is saying those who endure to the end will be saved. Those who endure, those who push ahead, those who, all men who will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So Jesus has changed his talk to just the disciples, and he's referring to us. He's saying, Pastor Greco, these are some instructions for you. This is some instructions for you, Ray. He's specifically giving us some instructions for the end. Let's look at these words because they're very relevant to the things we feel. Verse 23, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth that you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before you see the Son of Man come. In other words, come again. This is Jesus' second coming. He's no longer talking to the disciples. He's talking to us. As a student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master, it is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant to be like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? And that's what was happening to Jesus. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the Sadducees, they were calling Jesus the devil. That the works he was performing must have come from Beelzebub. And oh, that was not a good thing for them to say, let me tell you. And if they're going to persecute Jesus Christ, God Almighty, in that regard, how much more do you think when we witness to someone, we might get persecuted? I'll tell you, just yesterday, Kim and I went out for a date night, and we were out, and we were at this restaurant, and we saw some people. And this is the same person that I'm a member of this club, and he raised this huge stinking objection about me praying in the name of Jesus. And I did not get further from him. I drew in closer to him. Because he needs Jesus desperately. A hardened scientist, an atheist, we pray for him every day for his salvation. And we, since then, we haven't had the opportunity to engage him with the gospel. We are looking for, in fact, yesterday we invited them to our house for dinner. We got to work out the details, so be praying for that. But without us even mentioning Jesus, without us even talking to them about the gospel, he starts talking about, now we're very friendly, don't get me wrong, this isn't an antagonistic relationship, even though there's been, you know, some public heated words against me praying in the name of Jesus in the club. He said, you know, when you get close to me, when I, you know, you want us to come over because you want to persecute me. We've done nothing but show kindness and so on. But that's how they feel, right? Because Paul said in Corinthians, Christians are the smell of death to those who are perishing. Isn't that true? So he has a certain aura. We've never brought it up. We haven't had the opportunity to bring it up with him again, to have an exchange. But yet he feels this thing. So you don't know going on in the other person's mind exactly what's happening in their heart. Some people have been very hurt and wounded. We found out yesterday, and this is not an accident at all. We don't believe this at all. We found out a little bit. He's from Croatia. Is that right? Croatia? And he's from there, and he is an old man. He just fought against the Germans. He saw some horrific things done to his country in the name of religion. And he has done a very terrible mistake, and it could cost him his spirit. He's connected Jesus Christ with religion. See what God showed us yesterday? God just began to show us deep, dark into his spirit and into his soul what's going on in his heart. When we get together with him, when God has already started to give me what to say to him. That Jesus Christ, he's going to be surprised when I open up the Word and show him that one of Jesus' consistent themes was speaking against religion. Jesus hates religion. And I can't wait to share that with him. Jesus hates religion. And he's going to be astonished, I think, when I can show him how much Jesus spoke against the religious stuff that was done. I can even point to the Old Testament when God said, I am sick of your sacrifices. Because it was just religious stuff without relationship. So we go through here, we keep going in this passage here. So verse 26, so do not be afraid of them. Isn't that interesting? Mark that word, mark that sentence. Do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the desert, speak in the daylight, dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Isn't that amazing news today? Not just counted, but that's each one has like a serial number in God's throne, right? Each one of your hairs is numbered. That's harder for some than others, I guess. Do not, so that was a joke. You can laugh. It's okay. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Praise the Lord. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will become the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those are powerful words, aren't they? Those are powerful words in showing us just what priority we have to place in the gospel. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man, because he is a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. You know, God has chosen to save you. Think of that. When we left last night, one of the conversations Kim and I had in the car was the fact that there, but by the grace of God, go I. I could be that man that was sitting at that table, at that place last night. I could be the one with the hardened heart, but somehow, in God's plan, He had mercy on me. I don't know why. I don't know. I certainly didn't do anything to deserve His favor and His grace coming to me. Who am I? And I ask that question frequently. Who am I, God, that You would look upon me with such favor that You would open my eyes and let me see the truth that You have revealed in Your Word? And I'm not proclaiming to be anything special, but God has chosen Kim and I to witness to these people. God has chosen us. He has given us the most powerful message on the planet. If you turn on the State of the Union and you want to watch a powerful speech, if you want to watch a grouping of world leaders and you think you're going to get a little snippet that's a powerful thing you can hang on to. Maybe you're into motivational speakers and you hear this great speech, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I love Dale Carnegie and all of his writings. I've taken many of his courses. But it pales into comparison. All of them added together pales into comparison with the message of hope that we as Christians have been given. There is no greater message. There is no greater responsibility. There is no message on the planet that has eternal ramifications. There's no message on the planet that has greater hope. There's no message on the planet that can save men from their sins. There's no message that can secure them a place in eternity with God, that can rescue them from the pits of hell and destruction. There's not a message on the planet that they can find forgiveness of sins in. No karma is enough. No Buddhist meditation is sufficient. The message of Jesus Christ, the message that He has somehow opened our eyes to as Christians, He has chosen us. This one will save. And what will He do with the message that I have given Him? There's no other message that men can have their consciences cleansed and purified. And the heavy weights that they carry around of the sin and guilt and shame and disgust, and most of all, regret. If only I could redo that particular thing. It's the only message that can lift those burdens. Positive thinking isn't enough. Psychology isn't enough. It needs the message of Jesus Christ, that He paid the fine, that He paid with His own blood and purchased a place so that you could have relief from all of those troubles. Nothing, we say, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Friends, if you're a Christian today, I'm only speaking to Christians today. If you're a believer today, you know that message. You've been given, you've been entrusted with the greatest mandate on the planet. You've been given the greatest message on earth. There is no greater mission. There's no greater cause. All the cures of cancer, AIDS, pandemics, the Ebola virus, if they could ever just find a cure, none of them compares, even remotely compares, to the message that we carry around, that we know is true, that sets men free from their sin. There's no greater organization than the church, and the church, carried by God's amazing grace, the church carries this message to the world. You and I carry that message around in our pockets, in our Bibles, close to our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit prompts us to share it, we get all clammy and nervous. Do you know why that happens? Let me just suggest that that's all part of a spiritual battle. God has helped, Satan has helped us turn on the nightly news and see some Christian persecuted somewhere. He's filled our minds and hearts with things, that images that we can't just turn off and share away. We can't just put them off. We need to be bold in our witnessing for Jesus Christ. There was a man who took really good care of this person who had a terminal illness, a terminal disease. This person was dying. And this minister, he was taking care of this old man, and he was passing out. It was a grueling end of his life. And as he was ministering to him, as he was, you know, getting him cold compresses for his head and you know, medicine as he could and so on, as his last hours waned, finally the man, after a grueling number of weeks, passed away. The man, as he was walking out of the man's house, he took out a vial of medicine, the cure for his disease and sickness. He said, "Maybe I should have given it to him." Friends, we have that cure. And the thing that keeps us from sharing it the most is fear. The thing that keeps us from giving that message of hope to the person sitting next to us in the doctor's office, the worst one that I deal with the most, is the person sitting next to me in an airplane. You know, there's other people sitting around that can hear us. These thoughts all go through my head. And it's fear that kept me from sharing with that guy in Best Buy. I don't know what happened to him. All I can say is I'm in the boat with you. I have to deal with the same thing. But God has given us a mission. God has given us a mandate. And now we need to pray for boldness to go beyond that, to share that message of hope with the world. Today's message is taking a stand. It comes from the whole God's Not Dead series. I seriously doubt any of us is going to have a college professor. Most of us are completely done with college. Praise the Lord, right? And we're done with college. We're not going to go back to college. This kid had a college professor who was forcing his philosophy class to say God is dead and sign the paper. Most of us aren't going to have a college professor that persecutes us like that. Most of us aren't going to have our noses punched in because we share the gospel. Most of us aren't going to have somebody say shut up to us when we're preaching the good news, or we say, do you know Jesus Christ? They're not going to flip out. But let me share with you, even if they do, your promised blessing as a result. The Beatitudes, we just went over them a few Wednesday nights ago. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Just as they persecuted the prophets from of old, in the same way you're persecuted. In other words, Jesus is saying, you, Christian, are in good company. They crucified Jesus. Should we expect any less? But most of us aren't going to face that persecution. At least none, no time soon. So that should be all the more reason we take that vial of medicine, that message of hope, the power that God says the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and give that message of hope away to the person sitting next to us. And we have to override those things when our heart starts pumping, when our hands get sweaty, and say, Holy Spirit, you have put this on my heart. Now help me speak with boldness. And then I think all of this chapter actually applies to us. That's my own personal opinion. But here we have, it tells us in verse, where is it at? Be on your guard against men, verse 17, councils and synagogues. On account of me, they will be brought as witnesses. Verse 19, but when they arrest you, Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." In that moment, God, I believe, shows up because He's done it so many times, especially witnessing to Jews. I'll tell you, when I witness to Jews, there's a special anointing that you can almost tangibly feel in sharing. And the Holy Spirit, if you'll just be that conduit and open your mouth, what do you have to say? God says, give a witness. We covered last week just of the hope that you have, just about how God has changed your life. Make it personal. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to have 25 hours of Bible classes and 50 hours of evangelism training. You can simply share the hope that you have in Christ. We talked about that hope last week, that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that God died on the cross for my sin, that He rose again from the dead. That's a lot of the gospel right there. And we can share that with how God changed my life, how I was a lying, cheating, murdering, adultering life. You can go through some of that if you want. And how God set me free. Before, maybe in your story, you have a history of depression, and God set you free from depression. That's part of a testimony. Maybe it was anxiety or fear. Maybe it was, for personally, one of the ones I share a lot is when I used to be scared, literally petrified of death. Literally, when I was a boy, I would cry myself to sleep at night because I was so petrified of dying. And when I got saved, God lifted that off of me. No longer do I fear dying. I'm going into the hospital for surgery on Tuesday. You can ask Kim, I've had no anxiety, no fear of dying, because I know that if I pass from this earth, I'm with Jesus. Don't revive me. I don't want to come back, right? I'm going to be with Jesus. That's all we have to share. It's not complicated. And you know what? If you can't do that, you can still witness for the Lord. How? You can nervously pull out these things from your car, your pocket. We always have invite cards. How many of you know we have invite cards? Right? We always have invite cards. Sometimes we kind of force them on you on Sunday, right? We're giving them three or four at a time. Sometimes you can pick them up on your own. And you can just say, you know, Holy Spirit, which one do you want to give me? Hey, here's a non-threatening. Come to our movie. I see you have kids. Come to our movie. That wasn't even hard, right? You have some getaway time before he realizes it's a church. Did you get that? Yeah. I used to use those tracks to have lots of getaway time. Yeah. And you know, if you're really feeling bold, you can go, here's an end times one. You know, and you can kind of throw it and run. You know, whatever works. But the point is that we have the message of the hope. And God will use even the smallest thing that we do, even a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. Did you get that? Whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you, if you just step out in faith and do something small and give a cup of cold water to a little boy or a little girl, God somehow will use that. Somehow He'll use that in their life. Step out in faith. Watch God work. Don't be afraid. Share. We possess the greatest hope on the planet. There's no greater hope. There's no greater mission. There's no greater enterprise. There's no greater anything than the gospel that we carry with us. It is the hope. You can share your testimony. You can share how to become a Christian, go through the whole gospel. You can just simply give an invite card. Or a cup of cold water. They say, thank you. Say, Jesus gave that to you. However you want to do it, God will use what you give. But here's the point God's telling us today. Don't be afraid. If you turn in your sermon notes, don't let fear stand between you and God when you're sharing with someone else. Just step out in boldness and He will be there. He will be there with you. Let's pray. God, You are the greatest thing that ever happened to us. We are so thankful that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, as many as they were, God. Father, we are so thankful. We've lied, we've stolen, we've committed adultery in our heart, we've blasphemed, we've coveted our neighbor's property, we've broken every one of your laws and commands. But you, Jesus, came to earth, never sinning, the penalty being death. You died on the cross for my sin. You paid for my sin. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that if there's anyone here not saved today, that you would open their eyes to that truth, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that Spirit, you would draw them unto salvation, and that God, in the name of your Son, Jesus, you would give us a boldness. That's exactly what Paul must have suffered with the same thing. Because he said, church, pray for boldness for me as I proclaim the gospel. And if there's anybody that seems bold, it's Paul in the New Testament. But he asked the church to pray for boldness. Right now, Jesus, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us a boldness in proclaiming the gospel. I know it's not politically correct. I know, God, that it's not culturally acceptable. I know, Lord, that there's a lot of obstacles and Satan will now turn up the heat in our lives. And Holy Spirit, as I pray this, I know there's going to be nudges from the Holy Spirit as we're alone with people to give out more invite cards, to share our testimony, to witness to people, to minister to friends, to invite people over, to make more connections into the world so that we can influence the world for Jesus. God, I know that as we do this, right now, God, people are thinking, I need to have that couple over for dinner. I need to be speaking to my secretary or to this person or that person. My nephew is not living for Jesus. And God, I need to make a time to have that telephone conversation with him. Right now, put on people. Right now, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Give us names of people we need to speak to. I pray, Lord, that you would give us those divine appointments throughout this week. I pray, Lord, we would have no more invite cards out here because they're just gone. We're sorry we're out. We have to get more printed. I pray, Lord, that we would give out all of those. Because, God, this community, Lord, 86% of them don't go to church anywhere. Lord, 86% of this community, around that number, is completely lost. They don't know Jesus. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would anoint us with the boldness and the power and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, open the way to the Holy of Holies. Lord, I pray that we would camp out there and receive grace and mercy and anointing and leave the Holy of Holies to go out and win some people and bring them into the Holy of Holies. Show them the way to the throne room of heaven. Help us, Lord, with that, we pray. In the name of Jesus.